I think so far we have been talking more on like emotional hurt, and I think that actually it is easier to forgive someone who has hurt you emotionally. But how about physically? What if someone really stabs you at the back, or maybe someone murdered your parents? Maybe these are hypothetical situations, but it's hard to forgive in this sense. So can you advise me on this?
Okay, so she's saying, what about, we've been talking about emotional hurt, but what about physical hurt? The physical hurt, like if somebody beats you up or somebody harms your parents or whatever, physically, that physical hurt ends comparatively soon, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I mean, if somebody beats you up, they beat you up and then the beating ends.
It's
the memories. Okay, the memories.
Can I make it more specific?
Okay.
If I have a friend who's being raped, so and I can see her repercussions, how much she's gone through after all these years, and you know, memories comes back, anything. So how can I teach her and teach myself to forgive?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's use the example of rape. It's a good example here, a horrible action, but a good example. The action is finite, isn't it? Afterwards, it's the memory that continues on. So that person maybe harms you one time, but every day when you remember it and you think about it, are they harming you again? No, they're not harming you again. When you remember it each day, day by day, what's harming you that day? The thought, you know, our dwelling on the thought harms us. Because the harm the other person did at that moment is finished. But it's the thought, the memory, dwelling on that, that's what hurts us, yeah? And it's that memory that hurts emotionally, because the physical pain, you know, usually it heals after not too long, but it's the emotional pain of feeling, you know, overpowered or violated or disrespected or something like that, yeah? Or helpless. It's that kind of emotional pain, being forced, you know, somebody forcing themselves on you. That's that's emotional pain that hangs on after the rape. So it still comes down to some kind of emotional pain. Yeah, because the physical pain goes away, you know, before too long. Well, I think what's very interesting, and when you do meditation practice, I'm sure this will happen to you because it happens to me many times. Start out doing some meditation, let's say the breathing meditation, do a few breaths, and then I'll remember some harm that somebody did to me. Sometimes it's even 20 or 30 years ago, you know. Doesn't matter. We store the harms done to us very well. You know, we forget where we put our keys, but we never forget when somebody harms us. Okay. I think our memory is a little bit out of whack there. But, you know, so you start out doing the breathing meditation. The memory comes up. Then the mind starts spinning around the memory. They did this and they did that, and how come I didn't do this, and why did I let them do that, and who did they think they were? And, you know, they do that to everybody, and somebody's got to stop them, and this hurt me so bad, and it's ruining all my other relationships, and I'm still mad at them 30 years later, and what am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, you know, you're in the middle of all of that, and then... Yeah. And then you open your eyes and it's like, oh, that person isn't even here in the room. You know? That person that I hate so much, that I'm so mad at, that I never want to see again, that is tormenting me so badly 30 years later, they aren't here.
Yeah?
And all of a sudden you go, oh, you know, what is it that's making me so miserable? What is it that's torturing me? It's not the other person, because they're not even here in this room. Yeah? What's torturing me is my uncontrolled mind spinning around with all of its uncontrolled thoughts. That's what's making me miserable. And at that point, that's when you realize you really need to change the mind. And that's when you really see when the Buddha said, the first two verses of the Dhammapada, where he says, you know, how the mind is the creator of our experience. And we really begin to see that how we think, what we think about, what we focus on, how we interpret things, what we remember and how we remember it, that is, can either make us happy or make us miserable. Then we really begin to have faith in the Buddha's teachings, because we see very clearly that the Buddha really knew what he was talking about.
If thoughts such as what you described comes up, mm-hmm. you feel angry again towards that person, does that mean that you haven't forgiven him?
What do you think?
So was, yes, we have. Because that example brought up by our wife who made was that person was a foster mother who she still sees her now, then when she sees her now.
Say it again.
That person in the group that she brought up was actually the foster mother who she sees very often, and I asked her when she sees her now, how does she feel? She said, I don't remember the incident, but when I meditate and someone asked me who what can I forgive, I thought about that incident and it comes up and it's angry again. So that question was, did I forgive her or not? Mm. And my answer to her was yes.
Sometimes we forgive and then we get angry again. Yeah? So, you know, it's like forgiving has many different layers. We forgive a little bit, and so it seems like when you see her, I'm not angry, I'm okay. But then other times you'll remember it again and the anger comes up. So it's like you forgave that much, but there's still a little bit more to go. Yeah? So it's kind of like, you know, when you have an onion, how you peel different layers off of it. I think forgiving is very similar. We keep going deeper and deeper. Yeah, so we've forgiven somewhat, but there's still some more. Yeah.
One more point that we didn't resolve in our group discussion was, I think you brought up the idea of forgiveness based on the 9/11 incident, that's my assumption. But anyway, my thought is that the plane slammed into a World Trade Center, that's the action. You cannot forgive the plane, that's a man-made object. But the real challenge is you can forgive the suicidal violence, the terrorists, and ultimately Osama bin Laden. I have difficulty doing that, not just for Osama, but for all the murderous dictators that live in the Chinese army that invaded Tibet, Hong Kong, killing fields and such. So I have difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good point. It's important to forgive on a global level too, because international events do affect us. And we can get very upset and angry and afraid when just by reading the newspaper. You know, even by reading a history book, we can sometimes see how what people did years ago is influencing us adversely now and making the world we live in more difficult because of what they did, you know, 50 or 100 years ago. So I think forgiveness needs to be extended, you know, wherever we feel that our mind is constricting and getting tight.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, my head is going to the 9/11. Because I think sometimes certain people do things to provoke you. I mean, to make you angry. I knew that she didn't like to eat the noodles with chili, like purposely F. To make her angry. So I think their aim
was to make you feel angry, and you, by just feeling angry, by just actually responding to it, you are actually falling into the trap. It's like we are those little mice where we eat cheese, and people just eat cheese, that you are really running into the trap.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I feel the reaction towards this incident, of this 9/11 incident, is totally out of proportion.
Hmm.
It is out of proportion. Come on, think of that. Yes, people die, but people die every day and every day. They're just given prison time. Just that each time more people die on the same day. So, does it really matter that much after all?
I took my thoughts to another level where I think of what if those people were my relatives or my mother or father, then it becomes much more difficult.
Mm-hmm. It does become much more difficult. It's true, people do die every day, and we're all going to die one time or another. My personal feelings, I'm not stating this as the truth, but my personal feelings, I think in some way our reaction has been out of proportion, but I also think that this was a reaction was out of proportion, but I also think that this action was beyond anything any of us ever imagined human beings capable of doing. I see a few other people who felt as I did. I mean, when I first heard about it, I thought, you know, not even some very sick Hollywood screenwriter could have thought of a plot like that. You know? I mean, it was like so out of what anybody I knew ever thought human beings could ever do to each other. You know? I think it provoked a very strong emotional reaction from people because it stunned everybody so much. And it, you know, at least I know in the country, because I was in America when it happened, it just made everybody feel very insecure, very afraid, and really wondering, well, if human beings can do this to each other, what's next? Yeah? So my own view is, you know, I think it was... I understand the emotional reaction quite well, because I know I responded quite a bit to it, too. That is different than the military reaction, and that is different than continuing anxiety and fear afterwards, okay? So I think there's lots of different reactions. Sometimes we might feel stunned and grieving and everything when it happens. But then we have to kind of not let it, you know, we feel our emotions, we experience them, but then we know that, that event was impermanent, and we have to kind of go on and, you know, make something positive in our life, learning from that experience, and without getting stuck in the anxiety and the fear. That sounds very easy to say. It's not so easy to do, okay? Because we're very, very self-centered, and when our own security is threatened, we get very anxious. And I was watching in the States, you know, that people were just beginning to kind of recover from the 9/11 incident, and then the anthrax thing started. So it was like, you know, when you get stressed, things come up here and you have to go down again to normal. People hadn't come all the way down to normal yet. They were just here and then woo, you know. I think often the press exaggerates it, or in the press reports it in a way that increases anxiety and fear. And I think in that way, our reaction is very much out of proportion, because like with the anthrax thing, you know, the press just, you know, took the ball and ran, and it was the press, I think, the media, that made everybody so afraid. Yeah? I don't think it's a nice thing to do, to send anthrax through the mail. Yeah. And when I think of the karma somebody creates in doing that, you know, not, because that person's not, what that person wants to do is not so much kill people, but immobilize the country through fear. Yeah? And I think it's the immobilization of people through fear, you know, that is the really harmful thing. Thank goodness there haven't been too many deaths, although each death is a loss. But, you know, it seems to me we need to be able to see these things in perspective so we don't get locked into the negative feelings. But I think we also have to take what happened seriously and not just brush it off either.
I don't think what he said was right, because as you were saying on Friday evening, when things are made to yourself, like someone talked to somebody else about somebody else and you said like, okay, don't worry, it's not so bad. But when they do it to you, wait a minute, why you say that to me? You can't say that to me. So if you said that you see that happen there in the States, well, but if someone come to your house and destroy your house and kill your whole family that is working in your house, you want to say that people die every day and that people, we can handle that. No, it's not okay, because you have a lot of people dying. It was people from all over the world that died there. People that went in the morning to work. And it's not a nice thing that you have someone walking your house or your office, and you go to your office in the morning, and as Hermel says also the other day, people that left from their house, even sometimes when you go out to your house, you go out every day to your school, to your job, you don't even say goodbye maybe. Oh, bye, or whatever. And you get killed there. That's so sad for anyone to have a son, a husband, or whoever, killed there, and it was so many people, and it's not right, and you just sent two crazy guys there with their plane, okay, let's kill everybody now. What's next? Like Mara will say, you are scared, I have to travel now, I have to go all over to the States to go to my country, which is down here in Central America. I'm scared, I have to travel there, and I am scared of anthrax, I'm scared of that, because what can you expect from these people? They're crazy. So the reaction that the states have, I don't think this is a big reaction. I think it's right. Because you cannot let these crazy people out and do whatever they want. At least they get scared too. Let's see what has happened now. Because it's not we are police, but we are not idiots. I'm sorry about that. So I'm sorry, but you have to see, I'm not sitting here and I'm not letting you come in with anthrax and killing out so many people in my country just because you think you can declare we have and us. But yeah, we have, whatever. I don't care. I don't want you to do that to us. Yeah. You cannot just let it.
Yeah. So, you know, we react, don't we?
No.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different levels of reaction. And we all have to come, you know, to understand the situation, and slowly our reactions will hopefully become wiser. Yeah.
You could have been hopefully there in one of the planes or in the building. It's yeah. Not funny. You have someone driving your plane like, okay, let's go to the water. I'm here.
By the way, I'm from Malaysia, and they want things to stay able to follow attack up because it's been our anyway.
Yeah.
I still feel it.
Okay, let's okay. What I want to get back to, yeah, is this thing about forgiveness. Yeah, that harm occurs. We're never going to go through our life free of harm. We're going to get hurt. We're going to get angry. Our mind plays a role in getting hurt and getting angry. So the more we can work with our own mind, the more we can slowly reduce the hurt and reduce the anger, and eventually get it to the point where we don't feel so much hurt and anger, not because we're suppressing it or ignoring it or pushing it down or shining it on and saying it doesn't matter, but because we've actually been able to let go of a lot of preconceptions and let go of a lot of our self-concern. Okay? That kind of space will give us the openness and the freedom to react to the situation in a wise way. Yeah. So now this is the importance of patience and love and compassion, is that it gives us the mental space to deal with the situation wisely. Yeah. Okay, are we communicating here?